Well, it is another week. This is Andrew Wood, joined as always by pastor and friend Jason Hayes. Jason, it is Super Wednesday here in Knoxville.
As,
is that a
as
thing?
Opposed to what one of our political candidates referenced to as Super Thursday.
Super Thursday.
So it is not Super. It is Wednesday. Yeah. It is not Super Wednesday.
Hey, kinda, maybe it is.
It is not Super Thursday, yeah. And Super Tuesday already happened.
Yeah. You know, I feel like there's a saying that my grandpa might say. Any day that you're 6 feet above the ground is a super day.
Oh,
so wouldn't that be?
That is.
So wouldn't that make today super?
It's a bit morbid, but accurate.
Yeah, and it's not raining, so there's
no,
that.
No, that is true, man. So yeah, I mean it's been kind of a crazy week for sure. In fact, today. We are not going to really focus exclusively on just one issue,
yeah.
But just kind of talk about two or three different things that have happened and how we maintain a perspective that's honoring to the Lord. But man, it has been a bit of a wild week, and you've also been sick.
Yeah, I was sick last week and with, it's one of those, I was telling you off air that I was negative for strep, but because I have the Google, I was like, doctor, I don't think that's correct. And even the doctor looked at me and was like, yeah, I think this is wrong. I'm going to treat you as if you have strep because, you have, your throat looks terrible. And so they treated me for strep last week and I feel good. I don't feel bad at all, but I've been, coughing and stuff the last couple days. So
it is obviously, still, despite the fact that we've had a little bit of sun,
yeah,
a lot of rain,
yeah.
A lot of spring rain, it's technically still the winter.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I'm most excited about is the spring getting here mostly because it just at least mentally feels like less sickness is going around.
I don't know
if that's actually true at all.
Well, and I think even with all the hoopla about the coronavirus, I think even the CDC and the medical folks are like, man, if we can just get to spring and summer,
right?
That'll nip a lot of that in the bud,
right?
But man, we have had more rain. I'm not a depressed dude. I don't get depressed.
It's hard to handle. I get sick of it.
Yeah. I get tired of the rain and like walking in my yard, it's just sloppy mess.
I think we are maybe 3 weeks into the official like middle school baseball season.
Oh yeah, it's terrible.
And I want to say we've had like 7 games canceled already. postponed.
Yeah.
So talking about your strep
or whatever it was, Googled yourself to have as strep.
Do you find yourself at all being cautious about the coronavirus?
Yes.
And I think in the back of your brain thinking, oh, do I have the coronavirus?
And here's the thing is it's a, completely manufactured by the media in terms of,
oh dear, here comes now, the callers.
In
now.
Terms of my stress level, because look, the reality is it's flu season.
Right.
And so I should be washing my hands. I should be, there's other things that we should be doing because of flu that kills a lot of people and gets a lot of people sick. And so it's weird that all of a sudden I have this like in my mind going, I don't know. Is it this or is it that or, which I don't normally do. I don't normally go around going, is it the flu?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that the coronavirus is not real. It's certainly real and we've had loss of life even in this country. What I'm saying is I think the panic and the having it in the back of my mind is because I read about it
right,
a lot.
Right. Sure.
And so it's an interesting, I saw somebody the other day say that, coughing in public has now become like, a terrorist act.
Yeah,
that people all look at you and go, do they have it or do they not have it?
So Hayden and I, my oldest son, we went down to Palm Beach for 3 days last week. And
spring training baseball.
We went to see some spring training baseball and it was really special. Super fun. One of my buddies plays for the Nationals and he allowed us to like see all kinds of really cool stuff and Hayden got to meet tons of the players and we got to walk out on the field. And I mean, it was an absolute blast. And so, we did a little bit of that. We did a little bit of golf. It was a big time. But we did, we flew down there in order to kind of maximize our time. And there was a gentleman that was in front of me that had a pretty notable cough. And I was legitimately like terrified. I'm reading so many headlines.
And it's weird. Because we should be concerned, I guess.
Right.
But are we taking it? You know, there's like a, if you go to some of these stores, there's no toilet paper. And I'm going, I've read a lot.
I know.
But I haven't read that, hey, you need to stock up on toilet paper. I haven't read that one. But maybe. I don't know. Maybe if you're getting ready for whatever you're getting ready for.
Speaking of toilet paper, this has nothing to do with anything. Let's go this direction real quick. So I was driving down the road with Chuck Hooten, who's our worship pastor, and he and I were going to meet somebody for lunch, and somehow we got talking about a guy who has just been super successful in business, kind of a mutual friend, and we were just talking about like everything that he touches seems to just to work.
Well, I appreciate y'all talking about me.
Yeah, it was not you.
When I'm not around. I appreciate that.
But then we were kind of joking, like we were going to be having lunch with him, and we were joking, like we should come in with a pitch.
A pitch, yeah.
You know, like, just. And so, I don't know, somehow then the word or the phrase or even the topic of toilet paper came about.
Okay.
And then Chuck made the suggestion to have like football toilet paper. Okay. And the idea is that you would buy toilet paper that was like embroidered or colored or something with your enemies, with your arch rivals, like
Roll
logo
Tide.
And stuff. Yeah. So in the equivalent, you would be using the other team to clean
kind of like
yourself.
A floor mat.
Right. Exactly. Like,
Yeah.
And then I thought,
what
does
if your
this
house
have
divided?
Legs to it? You
what
know?
If your house divided?
Yeah. That's hard. That's difficult. Yeah. And I was like, mate, wait, do I have a concept here? And then we thought about it for about 8 more seconds and determined we did not.
And the investor
and
said,
don't ever eat lunch.
Actually, I already had that in the works.
Yeah. That's exactly. You're that's late already trademarked.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways.
You know, it's interesting. The, toilet paper is an interesting concept in and of itself. It makes me uncomfortable to talk about.
Yeah.
And, but it does, it is funny to me that when we find ourselves in these scenarios, where, okay, there may be a pandemic and we hope there isn't, that people are like, you know what? At the top of my list, I got to buy up all that toilet paper. That's what that's about. And I picture that mainly being the men of the house, not the women of the house. The men going, look, we're going to go in here. We're going to divide and conquer.
Right.
I'll go to the toilet paper aisle.
Right.
I'll get all of it.
Yes.
And I picture going to the register at the front of the store and you haven't told your wife you're going to get toilet paper, but you come up with a buggy and all you have, she's got like food and, you know, things that are going to matter. And all you have is the toilet paper and the wife just going, okay. Yeah.
It feels like they're going to have to start rationing stuff. Like, I did see where though they, you know, like health department stuff have asked people to stop buying all the masks.
Yeah. Cause everything that I've seen is the mask only helps if you're the sick one.
Right.
It doesn't help you if you're not sick.
Right. And so, Carrie and I and the boys actually have an upcoming trip to Disney, in the future. And so I've already been thinking, I mean, like, for the plane, should I wear a mask?
Yeah,
but I'm just like, everyone's like, oh my gosh, he's the one.
Yeah, that's right. Then you get judged.
And
I would recommend wearing like a bandana, like the old westerns.
Oh, carry
around your face,
something like that. Yeah.
Around your face, like a robber, like you're robbing someone, and just walk into stores. And
I was thinking more of the thing that looks like what fishermen wear to kind of keep the sun up their face, something like that. I wasn't really thinking about
the
Western.
I would go straight red bandana.
Man.
And as you walk into a store, pull it over your nose. Yeah, they won't ever think anything is happening.
I'm sure that would create a scene. Wow.
Yeah, so since we've kind of wasted the first segment anyway, let's continue on to that with the ball game.
If you were to say that I think you're going to is wasteful, then I am offended.
No, I think the ball game last night was amazing.
Woo! Go Vols!
And here's the thing,
yes,
too.
It was exciting.
Not only did we beat Kentucky, which is amazing to do in basketball, did you see the score of the baseball game?
I did. What did we want? 28-2.
Right?
Yeah.
In a baseball game.
Undefeated.
Our baseball team's playing out of their mind.
Yeah, number 11 in the country right now. They've not played a ton of competition except for that one tournament
played. They did really
and
well.
They beat Texas Tech, beat the number one team in America, beat Stanford. I mean, that's
some
pretty impressive
wins. I think the coach has them where he let's get them where they need
to be. I wholeheartedly agree. Yeah, he's fun. Good. Yeah. It's really, really fun. If you've not been out to Lindsey Nelson Stadium, yeah, you need to go and do that. Man, it's fun to watch the Vols. But yeah, yesterday evening, late yesterday evening.
Yeah, you stayed up late.
17-point deficit. I actually texted Andrew. And we were talking
late.
About today.
It was like after.
Yeah, it was like well after 11. Yeah. And we were having some discussion about, Super Tuesday. And then he said, what about the Vols? And I was like, what? And because I had seen the first 20 minutes of it. And then got into a big conversation with our son and it was good, but just didn't get to watch it.
Yeah.
And he was like, yes. And so then beginning at 11:30, I then immediately went to DVR, found the place where we were down by 17 and then started watching the game. And it was fabulous.
They were just so fun. You know, we said this last year too. Of course, last year we won a lot more and it was a little bit more fun, but this team is just fun. John Fulkerson is probably my favorite player. They play hard. And what I love about them is even when they're down, now I will say even when we're up, I'm nervous the whole game.
Oh yeah. As you
I'm
should
never,
be.
I'm never comfortable with where we are, but I will say even when they're down, you can't sense that. They still play hard and they still play through it. And so it was exciting. Then after the game, Fulkerson walked into the locker room and they all doused him with water and they were chanting his name. And, I love it. He looked at him and he said, no, this is about the Vols. This is Tennessee. This is who we are. And so even in that moment, his mindset was, look, this is about who we are as a team. Pons is playing out of his mind and jumping out of the building.
Surely a defensive player.
If not, then it's rigged. It's just, and I'll believe that till I die. So
here in a few moments, when we come back from the break, we're going to not talk about the Vols.
Right.
We're going to talk a little bit about Super Tuesday and talk a bit about, for those that are listening, how do they step into this process if they're just now getting into it? Maybe they went to the polls yesterday and kind of felt as if they were just kind of being forced into the process, good, bad, or ugly, trying to exercise their American liberties, however, still trying to stay a bit out of it. Or for the person who says, man, I am in real, 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 real deep at this point. Again, I'm constantly trying to keep the right perspective on it. Initial thoughts.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. I was surprised, really. I thought Bernie was going to kind of run away with it. Biden doesn't really, I mean, to get into the weeds of politics, he doesn't have the campaign structure across the country. He had an amazing one in South Carolina, which is why he won by like 50 points.
Right.
But there's a couple states he doesn't even have staff there.
Right.
They haven't even visited and he won last night. And so there's an interesting dynamic going on right now in politics where you have a kind of divided party, that is leaning more towards socialism, one that's leaning, trying their best to get away from that. And what you saw last night was the southern states going, yeah, we're not down with socialism.
Right.
And so it's going to be interesting, but Bernie still won California, which is a big state. It's still going to be close between Bernie and Biden, but it's pretty clear. It's a two-man race at this point. Bloomberg that's going to still stay in. Elizabeth Warren,
astounding amount of money that he has spent.
He has spent so much money.
Good grief. I didn't realize that. I knew he was obviously very, very, very wealthy.
$64
billion. But I did not realize that he was like the eighth wealthiest man in America.
Yeah, he's $64 billion is what he's worth.
What the show is worth?
I think. I mean, I've talked to him about investing and and stuff, but he may buy the show.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
And so we may be doing ads for him in the near future.
Holy.
We'll be back. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you. So this song, that's the soundtrack to the new Joker movie, right? Talking about Jokers to the.
I think that's probably what it was.
Yeah, I haven't seen the movie, but you've seen the preview where he's dancing down the stairs.
Yeah.
Is this what's playing?
I don't know.
That would make the movie so much better.
It actually kind of has that vibe.
It would.
And feel.
Man, I should be a producer in Hollywood.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't, they're really missing out on the talent that I bring to the table, if I'm honest.
So, Andrew, let me ask a situational question.
Okay.
If someone were to, and our listeners probably have figured this out a long time ago, you are highly interested in politics.
Sure, yeah.
And I am probably on the opposite end of the spectrum of disinterested in politics. However,
that's where I want to be.
I do sense some responsibility to be connected because, you know, one, I want to be wise.
Yeah.
I want to be informed. I think at the end of the day, the more aware we are of certain issues, the more broken we can be over issues and the greater need that we see. And so it is a balance for me. But as far as kind of the weeds and even kind of the details and strategy behind political seasons, you are far superior in this. And so the question is, if someone were to have said, hey, Trump is going to be your
sure.
candidate on the Republican side.
Yep.
But let's say someone did not want to, they wanted to ensure, let's say in the state of Tennessee, they wanted to ensure that Bernie was not on the ticket or they wanted to do their part in trying to ensure Bernie was not on their ticket. Could they technically could have voted in the Democratic race, and they could have voted for Biden or Bloomberg or whatever.
Tennessee
can
happen, right? Yeah, Tennessee's
an open
primary.
And then they would still be able to vote whichever they wanted to in November.
Yeah, so Tennessee's an open primary state where regardless if you line up with a Republican or Democrat or independent, you can vote in any primary you want to. All you got to do is go to the polling place and say, they look at you and go, do you want to vote Democrat or Republican? And you just tell them.
Right.
They don't look at anything else. You don't have to register as a Democrat, register as a Republican.
That's what I was trying to get
at.
And
so there are some states that say absolutely not. You have to be registered as a certain party, and then you vote in that party's primary. There are some states that say even if you're registered as an independent, some states would go, that's fine, but you're not voting in our Democratic primary. Now, then there's other states that go, well, you're registered as an independent. You can pick either one. So it just depends on where you are. Rush Limbaugh back in the day would call this Operation Chaos, and he made a push a long time ago to send Republicans into Democratic primaries to pick who you would want to run against, in essence. So,
interesting.
So if you're like, well, I think the Republican candidate would be better served to run against X, then you would go vote for that person.
Right.
Or in this case, there are a lot of folks that are upset because of the bent towards socialism. So they're going, look, you know, I don't agree with everything that another candidate may stand for.
Yeah, that may say I don't agree with Biden,
but
I certainly would rather Biden
socialism.
Be than socialism.
Yeah, and so you probably saw some of that, definitely saw some of that happen last night. And so the one thing that to keep an eye on is going into the convention, what does that look like? Who has the most delegates? But the reality is it isn't just about having the most delegates. There's a threshold they got to hit.
Right.
And if you don't hit that threshold, then you have a brokered convention. One nugget of history for you. Abraham Lincoln.
I also like chicken nuggets.
Yeah,
but
I do too.
But talk to me about
Abraham Lincoln
history.
Became president through a brokered convention. He became the candidate through a brokered convention. Didn't have enough before the convention. And then while they were in the convention, that's where they decided.
All right, so for our listeners Abraham today, Lincoln. Tell them what a brokered convention means.
And so what that means.
I actually feel like I have a decent idea.
Yeah, so what that means is they would go in and no one has that threshold.
Right.
Whatever that number is for the Democratic Party. And so they go in and you'll have one candidate that has the most, but not the threshold. And so similar in a kind of, if we can broaden out a little bit, when we have the popular vote versus electoral college.
Right.
The popular vote doesn't mean you win, and we've seen that multiple times. And so what this could mean is, and this is where Bernie is a little nervous because he feels like it was taken from him 4 years ago.
Yep.
And his supporters do. And so if they go into this convention and he doesn't have the threshold number, he's been arguing, look, it's about who has the most once they get
which
there.
Which is never how it's
and everybody's looking at him going, well, you were part of the rulemaking process and the rules say this. And so they would have one vote. And so the first vote, he would win.
Right.
The second, you add superdelegates, which carry even more weight. And these delegates have the freedom to put their weight behind who they want to put it
right.
behind. And what you also have is you have some folks that were saying, well, I was a delegate for Mayor Pete. Mayor Pete's not in the race anymore.
Right.
I was a delegate for Andrew Yang. He's not in the race anymore.
Right.
I was a delegate for fill in the blank, and they're not in the race anymore. And so they're going to do some finagling and do some politicking and figure out who they're going to get behind. They're going to whip the votes up. And I think what you're going to have is you have the establishment saying, look, we can sense that socialism is not the direction we need to go right now. And that's really not the candidate we need, even though Bernie may have the plurality of votes when they get there. And what the dangerous thing in terms of strategy for them is that is if you do that, and let's say they go to the convention and Bernie is leading, but he doesn't have the threshold. They do a couple rounds and Biden ends up being the nominee. Here's the danger you have is Bernie has created a pretty strong structure of support and he's got a very strong base.
Oh, yeah.
Now, do you think that base is then going to line up behind Biden? I would argue no,
right.
they're not. Now, will they throw their support behind Trump? Some of them will. Some of them will not.
Right.
participate.
Sure.
And so that's where the strategy comes in. Or you may have Bernie going, fine, I'm going to run his third party.
All right. So we're going to talk about some things that are a bit more redemptive here
yes.
in just a minute. But the question that I have for you, as we'll wrap up our discussion on politics, before we, again, kind of think about perspective
sure.
issues, what is your one, like, off-the-wall prediction for the upcoming political cycle? Like, between now and November, give me one off the wall prediction.
One off the wall, and I don't think this is going to happen, but it would really throw a wrench in some things. I have two things. Michelle Obama puts her name in the hat at convention. Hillary Clinton shows back up for a VP candidate or something like that. Those would be two like out of the blue, but big time news stories.
Right.
And then on the Republican side, the big off the wall. I don't think it's going to happen is Trump, Mike Pence steps down and Trump picks Nikki Haley or another person as the VP candidate.
Yeah, that's what I've seen a few people talk about that where, Pence might, no longer be on the ticket.
Which would be interesting. I mean, but man, you talk about news. And the interesting thing throughout this whole process is, every time there's been a debate, a Democratic debate, Trump has held a rally, like the day of or the next day. I mean, it is in terms of political theater, man, we're right
there
in the middle of it.
So let's talk about this thing from our varying perspectives, because I think it will apply to our various listeners. Question I have for you is, how's your heart? Like, meaning, like, when you think about, like, where you are, because you love these
sure.
things.
Yeah, yeah.
How is this going for you and what encouragement can you offer to listeners?
Yeah, for me, it's, years ago, this would have been agonizing, and keep me up at night, concerning me, like, what are the polls saying? Where I'm at currently is an observer.
Yeah.
I enjoy it. I enjoy observing and hearing what everybody's saying and watching the process and watching the politicking. And so it's nice to just be an observer that I was able to watch the Vols last night on Super Tuesday and not feel like I was missing something.
I've got a buddy that, even in the, and again, I'm not necessarily affirming this or whatever it may be, but, he was unabashedly a Trump fan going into this last political season, or I guess 2016, and his whole deal was because he had kind of shifted out of really like, I mean, I think he owns the responsibility of like my vote matters, but for him he just wanted to observe, like he just wanted like what's going to look like for the next many years, what's this next season going to look like.
And it's been fun to observe.
Yeah. We'll talk more about my perspective when we come back.
So here we are. It's the day after Super Tuesday, and we've coined it Super Wednesday. I think that we should like.
And this music fits for Super Wednesday.
Yeah, I think it is. This is when Joker was coming down the stairs. I think this is what he's dancing.
You've got to stop.
I haven't even seen the movie.
You've got to stop attributing music to movies.
And there's probably people listening going, why are you talking about that movie? Because it's probably really bad. I haven't seen it. Yeah, I'll just let you know. I haven't seen it. I've seen that part of it where he's walking down the stairs and he's dancing.
I went and saw a cinematic classic last week when we were in Florida. We just had kind of an evening open and, we were worn out. We'd been baseball games, hot, sunny, everything else. And we went and saw Sonic the Hedgehog.
Come on. What'd you think?
It was actually pretty cute for what it was.
My kids went, I didn't see it, but they went with, someone was babysitting.
Yeah,
they
took it was it, fine.
And they liked it.
It was fine. So,
Sega, were you a big Sega Genesis player?
Sega.
Cause that's,
no,
only, that's what I
wasn't.
Did
actually.
Sega create Sonic?
I think so.
I think so too. Man, that they're coming in strong that they're doing a movie in 2020.
Yeah.
And it came from Sega.
Yeah. What would you say has been the most, just if we're just going to attribute a certain thing to like one or two candidates, like something you've seen them do in the last week that you're like, man, that is really ridiculous.
The dancing. I've seen candidates dance.
Yes.
Way more than I need to see them dance. Right. Stop it. Just right. Stop. Why?
Right.
Why are we doing that? Where is your campaign staff? To say,
you need to
sir,
you need
ma'am,
to start right now.
Quit dancing. Stop it. I wish they'd just step in front of the camera and go, no.
Yeah.
No. No, you are not going to do this today. And then the, Vice President Biden has had his moments.
Yeah.
He's had some moments of.
Then again, I think about our president.
He's had moments
and,
of flubs
you know,
too.
He's had a rally at some point. And, you know, he obviously references to Mike Bloomberg as Mini Mike.
Yeah.
And I turned it on and he was literally hunched down behind the podium as if he was a short person.
Yeah.
And I was like, don't do that. Don't do that.
Yeah, he's,
I'm
telling you, this is good political theater.
Good
if nothing
grief.
Else.
Man of me. So let me share my,
my
thoughts for me. You know, right now I really do find myself, having to almost add I have to add some legitimacy to it because I do just what I was just doing. Like I almost want to mock the whole process.
Sure. 100%.
I want to completely,
even
almost demonize it at times.
Yeah.
And yet again, even as I spoke last Sunday, Shoreline, we were talking about kind of this idea of readying for action, how God's often moving us into next steps. And one of the things that I talked about is that most often God moves us in conjunction with a need. So it's not like, hey, just go over here. It's like, go over here because there's a purpose. Go over here because there's a responsibility that you're to be a part of. And, you know, for me, I think I just have to be really careful. Again, some of the, as you said, I love that term, kind of political theater. I can laugh at and bemoan over and just,
sure.
and just move beyond. On the other hand, I really do want to make sure that I'm even at least aware of not so much just what an opinion of a candidate, you know, or what a position that a candidate holds is. Rather, I think that it's helpful for me to know those positions because they're representing a whole lot of people.
Yeah.
Like there's a whole lot of people that really do affirm that type of thinking or affirm that philosophy, whether it be political or economic or social. And so it just reminds me more of like who people are, how people are processing our day, our culture. At sometimes I think it speaks towards the needs of people's hearts and the burdens and the desires of their hearts. And just trying to look at it with the right perspective, but on the other hand, I'm like almost forcing myself, like pay attention.
Yeah.
Like pay attention to the degree that it's appropriate.
Well, and here, excuse me, here's why it's important too, is just this week we saw terrible weather, tornadoes come through Middle Tennessee.
Right.
And
we wanted to address that.
And so as you know people from Middle Tennessee, I grew up in Middle Tennessee. Putnam County has been just rocked with 77 people missing. Small rural communities, 77 people missing. I think it's up to 19 people dead in Putnam County alone. And so what we're seeing across the board is we're seeing mayors, we're seeing local officials, we're seeing the governor, the president's going to be visiting the state on Friday. These are why these things are important. We make, you know, we make jokes and we make light of it. And frankly, a lot of times they kind of deserve that. But in these moments where we really need folks that are going to govern and lead and serve the constituency, it's something to watch. And what's also amazing about what we've seen with the storms is, and that's what I love about Tennessee and small communities, is Southern Baptist Disaster Relief is loading up trucks going to work. Neighbors are getting out chainsaws. The governor closed down state offices yesterday and said, help in your neighborhoods. If you don't have to come to Nashville, don't come. But go and help and serve and don't come to work today. Those are things that we need to, we can, you know, enjoy the political theater and talk about it and those type things. But if we're not loving our neighbor, like the actual person that lives next to us, then none of the other, that stuff matters.
Yeah, you're right. I was fortunate, to be invited to go and do Bible study for, our mayor Jacobs, a group of his team, I guess a week ago Thursday, or a week ago tomorrow. And I was just reminded, I mean, I know Mayor Jacobs and I know a good portion of, it's not his cabinet per se, but you know, senior leadership. And they're good men and women. But I was just reminded that, you know, they have to make some really hard decisions.
Right.
And they have to represent people really hard times. I was, in a text thread with one of, a joint friend and then, Representative Jason Zachary, on, I guess that was, the tornadoes hit Tuesday. Is that right? Early Tuesday morning.
Morning.
And so we were in a text thread on Monday evening and I wake up crazy early and I didn't really think about grabbing my phone, but according to the other buddy that was in the thread, I responded to the last thread about 4:45 in the morning. And then I thought, he pointed that out. And then he said, and you know, Jason's in Nashville. So
yes,
it's 3:45 in the morning. You're texting him. And so I apologize, Jason, but it was I was mindful, or I thought of that, you know, like that next morning he was going to wake up and he was going to have to like lead. You know, his particular area wasn't impacted, but he's going to be a part of state politics and state things. And so I think that your point is really well taken. And I hope it's really well received from our listeners today is that, you know, the reason that we sometimes put up with all the pageantry and some of the reason we put up with all the tomfoolery and everything else that comes along with it is because, man, it really does matter who's in these positions. And it doesn't mean that we think they're king. It doesn't mean we think that they're somehow sovereign. It doesn't mean that we think that they're somehow, you know, above God. But it does represent that it matters. And so whether your political candidate ends up being in office in 2020 or even starting in the coming days after yesterday's election, you know, with some of our local offices, whether your candidate made it in office or not, man, can I just beg people, if there's something redemptive to take out of today's show, to keep all this in perspective, but also to pray for these leaders.
Yeah.
It's really, really important.
Well, and because some things we tend to take for granted is, regardless of who holds that office and regardless of what letter is beside their name, they are going to represent people from all walks of life, both parties. So Governor Lee this week is making visits. And his question isn't going to be, are you a Democrat or Republican? Did you vote for me or did you not? He's looking at his neighbors and folks in his community that have lost everything. Some folks that don't even know where their mom is or where their grandmother is. Or I saw somebody post last night that a husband, wife, and their little girl that was probably 3 years old all died in the tornado. And because it came at nighttime, people weren't prepared to get to where they needed to, or they were asleep. You know, a school was hit at night. Thankfully, it wasn't hit during the day when students were there. And so there's so many things to look at this. And just like when we had the fires here in East Tennessee a few years ago, we have folks that are, these are times of unification where we can come together and say, look, we have our disagreements on a lot of things. But you're in a time of need right now.
Right.
And so let's step up. And so what I would encourage listeners to do is, yes, be engaged in the process of who those leaders are going to be. But also in these moments, we don't have to wait around. Right. The church has been called to act and love on our neighbors. And so if you can, if you have the time, if you have the ability, if you have the resources, step up and help in some way, whether that be giving money, providing water, taking a chainsaw and going to work, whatever that looks like. That's what I love about.
Now, like, we're just to be clear, like, not showing up at your place of employment.
Do not do that.
Don't go to work with a chainsaw.
With your bandana that we talked about earlier. Exactly. Yeah, not a good idea.
Work hard with a chainsaw with, like, disaster
relief. Where there's
some
trees that need to be cut.
Yeah, don't show up at your office with a chainsaw.
Yeah, your boss is going to be really have a lot of questions, I think.
I'm sorry.
He's going to have a lot of questions.
You're saying helpful, redemptive things.
No, I would agree. I'm about to go to, if I go to my office and someone shows up in my office with a chainsaw at Hope Resource Center,
and
I'm going to have a lot of questions, a lot of questions for them. And so, but there's so many opportunities to love our community. And this is a great opportunity to not just give lip service and say Middle Tennessee strong or Nashville strong, but actually do something with it. And there's some great opportunities, some great places you can find online to help and support. We'll talk more when we come back.
Yes, this is working for me.
You like it? What is that? Is that a Rolling Stones?
Yes.
Mick Jagger? He's in Rolling Stones, right? Yeah, that's where he like does his little chicken walk.
Yeah.
I think he was coming down the stairs.
He was not in the movie. Joker. Stop it.
I guess I haven't seen the movie.
we've been talking about a plethora of various things.
We have. This has been a really, this afternoon. We've hit a lot of things.
Yeah, I would, on a serious note, we sincerely do offer our condolences, well wishes, and prayers to anyone, whether personally, because I know that our listening audience is far and wide. I'm sure there are bukus of Nashvillians listening to our show.
Most certainly.
But we do sincerely offer, our thoughts and prayers, with you guys. If you're in the Cookeville area, if you're in Nashville, wherever it may be, Wilson County, Putnam County, all of those areas, we are very much, thinking of you. Those are scary things. Have you, Andrew, ever been in any type of, natural disaster? Have you ever experienced that?
I've seen some, back in the day in Cornersville, there was a warning that came out and we all got in the closet underneath the stairwell. And I remember it vividly because my brother at the time, my middle brother, he's the middle child, was probably 15. I don't even know if he was that old. And I remember we all got in that. My dad wasn't home. We all got in that closet, and my middle brother stood at the door and put his arms.
Oh, wow.
And I remember thinking, I wasn't even a teenager. And I remember thinking, wow, Sean is like becoming the door for us.
Yeah.
He's not even the oldest brother.
Yeah.
But he took that upon himself to do that. And we heard kind of, it passed, but it didn't do anything to our place. I would travel around. He would play in different baseball camps around, and we were at one and we actually saw a funnel form.
Oh, wow.
And it didn't do anything. It didn't touch down, but we watched it and thinking we were at a baseball field. There's nowhere for us to be.
Yeah, that's
scary. And we saw it form and then it just kind of went away. Wow. Those are the only times. Yeah.
Yeah. We lived in Nashville for several years and, I was trying to think, this was before our oldest son was born. So it's been over 13 years. There was a tornado that came through North Nashville and created significant damage. Major damage, and went through our neighborhood and, did not hit our house. We had all kinds of trash and everything across the yard, but I actually was on the phone with Carrie. She was in Chicago at the time for work, and I was kind of peeking out through the bathroom, across the hall, out the window, and I could see the next door neighbor's, trampoline in the air.
Wow.
And then immediately, I shut the door and was talking to her and boom, lost connection and could not get back in contact with her for like the next 2 hours. And between those 2 hours, Carrie saw our neighborhood featured on CNN.
Wow.
That
sure
was,
she wasn't scared at all.
Yeah, that was scary stuff, man. And so, You know, having been at least through a bit of that to a degree and watching, we had a person in our church that was killed, during, one of the tornadoes. That was again, many years ago, in North Nashville. And so I would just, again, we just want to reiterate, we are thinking of those of you that have experienced any type of loss, whether it be of life or whether it be of property. Or whether it's a loved one, if you are a Knoxvillian or in the Knoxville area and you have loved ones in that area, by all means, just know that we're for you.
When also thinking about these times where our kids are going to be hearing about some storms and tornadoes and that's gotta be scary of, well, you know, 77 people missing in Putnam County and my wife grew up in Overton County, which is the bordering county of Putnam.
Neighboring,
and so, she has a stepsister that lives. It hit the neighborhood right across from theirs. And so this is like the real deal. My father-in-law called me yesterday and he lives on Monterey Mountain. I mean, away from everything. There's nothing near him, no cell phone service. And he said he's pulling out of his driveway. He's got 100 acres there and there was a car bumper in his field. There was siding and insulation.
Crazy.
From who knows where.
Yeah.
And so it made it all the way up to where he lives, away from everything. And, it just kind of shows us how fragile life is and how small we are when these natural disasters occur. You know, that's why we need to lean on a God that's bigger than all of that and the one that does calm the storms. And so, so we're praying for y'all for sure. And please join us in praying for the folks in Middle Tennessee.
We'll talk to you next week.